Now it's time for a visit to the beauty shop. That's where our panel of women journalists and commentators take a fresh cut on the week's news. Sitting in the chairs for a new do this week are Joan Walsh. She is an editor-at-large of Salon.com and an MSNBC political analyst. And Ishii is the editor-in-chief of They're All So Beautiful. That's an online forum that looks at race and dating. Veronica Miller writes about fashion and pop culture for XO Jane and TheGrio.com. And Bridget Johnson is the Washington, D.C. editor for PJ Media. That's a conservative libertarian news and commentary site. Welcome back to you all, ladies. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right, so let's not pretend. I mean, let's just start with a topic that we know everybody's talking about anyway. Okay. TMZ, a celebrity gossip site, released video that seems to pretty clearly show Jay-Z, the hip-hop mogul, being physically attacked by his wife Beyoncé's younger sister, Solange Knowles. Beyoncé, of course, being, you know, mega star in her own right. And Solange is also known as kind of a fashion maven, a DJ, celebrity DJ, singer. The group was caught on a security camera leaving a Met Gala after party last week, and during what some are calling the longest elevator ride ever, Solange kicked and punched and lunged at her brother-in-law while one of the bodyguards there tried to help get the situation under control. And it isn't clear what led to the altercation, and nobody who was immediately involved has publicly specifically addressed the incident, but everybody else has. So I just thought I would ask you all what your thoughts are about this. And Joan, I'll start with you.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I'm ambivalent about it in the sense that I think on the one hand, they've certainly made their love affair, their marriage, their sex life, their baby kind of central to their myth and to their, you know, their status as pop royalty. And so, of course, it kind of invites us into gawk when things go bad. On the other hand, I have a really hard time, you know, talking about what might have happened because we just don't know. There's no audio from this video. There are rumors out there about what they may have been fighting about, but there's no confirmation. So, you know, it's like we all have to be gawkers. We look at traffic accidents, and, you know, my mom told me to say a prayer, but as long as I said a prayer, I could look. And so I kind of feel the same way here. I hope everybody's okay, but I can't help but look.
And Ishii, what about you? What are your thoughts about this?
Well, first of all, hotel elevators are totally sacred. So I feel like the fact that they broadcast this security camera footage is a little bit unsavory. But after giving it a little bit of thought and, you know, thinking about the other unintended released, not video, but soundtrack of Sterling, Donald Sterling, I have to say, unless Jay-Z told Solange not to bring black people to his shows, I don't think we had any business seeing that video.
Well, why do you say a little bit unsavory? Why not a lot unsavory? I mean, a lot of people are jumping all over V. Stiviana with both feet, even though they think that she in some ways may have done a public service by broadcasting this. They still think it's horrendous. So why a little bit unsavory? Why not a lot unsavory? Is it because they're so famous, or is it because, like what Joan said, that, you know, when you get to be that famous, it's almost like fair game unless you're in your own house?
Well, I think, you know, for a lot of victims of certain kinds of violence or offense, it's really difficult to confront your abuser or attacker or the racist in your life or the bigot or whatever. And I have no idea what happened in that elevator, so I can't conjecture. But if it happens that there's some serious situation going on, then I think, you know, we have to sort of give carte blanche.
Veronica, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the only thing that we do know is that we don't know anything at all about what happened. I think we're so fascinated by it because the question is, what made her so enraged that those kicks and those punches were flying in that manner? It's just kind of bizarre and,
could have been,
you know.
Could have been rum and coke. I mean, it could have been alcohol. I mean, I'm sorry.
Number of things, right. But the one thing I think we can take
too many
away
cosmos.
From this, yeah, too many. I think the one thing we can definitely take away from this is the PR machine that Beyoncé is. Mm-hmm. That woman did not budge. And a lot of people are asking why. They're saying she's a robot. She doesn't care about defending her husband. Yada, yada, yada. No, the reason is that Beyoncé is smart. She knows there are eyes and there are cameras everywhere, including hotel elevators, which is why when her sister starts flailing and punching and kicking, you're not going to see Beyoncé, this woman who has built a $1 million industry on herself in that Givenchy dress, engaging in fisticuffs with her little sister. It's not going to happen. There are too many endorsement deals, too many tour dates, too many things on the line. And then there's video also afterward of them emerging from the hotel, which is like your standard paparazzi video. And she comes out and she just gives a smile and gets in the limo. And if we hadn't seen the elevator security camera footage, we would have never known anything happened. And I think it's just a testament to how tight the Knowles Carter brand is and trying to, you know, maintain their image and their mystique.
Bridget, what do you think? Bridget Johnson?
I confess I was drawn into when TMZ is like, we have the full length one now. I'm like, ooh, I gotta go watch this. It was kind of like like an Unsolved Mysteries episode. You kind of hear Robert Stack saying, why did Solange, you know, attack Jay-Z? But the answer to that, either way, it's going to compromise their privacy, just like having that video release compromise their privacy. Yeah. You know, Jay did something untoward and Solange was defending her sister. Maybe Solange has a problem with substance abuse or mental abuse. Anything that comes out at this point is going to compromise the privacy of that family. So I think we kind of have to let it go in that way.
You know, one of the things I found interesting is that Joan, just looping back to where you started out, saying that they've made their relationship so much a part of their brand. I actually disagree. I think that, for example, it was years before Jay-Z and Beyonce even acknowledged that they were dating. And unlike even a lot of couples who are not celebrities, there has never been a photo that they have ever released of their wedding. I mean, their wedding was a private matter. They did not put it on Facebook. They didn't put it on Instagram. They didn't do any of that stuff. And I just think they've been very selective about what it's true that they have, you know, she released this documentary. But one of the things that people noted about herself last year in her tour, but one of the things that a lot of people noted about it was that she really didn't tell you a whole lot that you couldn't glean from a lot of other things. Right. And it was kind of an extended music video. The other part I find interesting is what happened to emotion. What happened to appreciating people for having emotional control? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's as if, you know, if you're not like putting all your personal business in the street, that there's something wrong with you. But it used to be considered classy to keep your business to yourself, to keep your family's business in the house, and to try to deal with your stuff privately. And so I guess I find it kind of interesting that, you know, as public figures, it's almost as if they owe us this. And you know,
no, I certainly don't believe they owe us this at all. I would say that in the last year, I think their focus has shifted a little bit, and they've certainly let us in a little more, even just thinking about the Grammy appearance.
Sure.
But I certainly don't think they deserve this. And I also, you know, I had the same reaction on one level to her stoicism in that elevator. On the one level, it's remarkable, and you're like, wow, how can she do this? But on the other, you know, she has supreme self-control, and she seems to be the only one for certain who might have an inkling in the back of her mind that, hey, even an elevator in a fancy hotel is not a safe private space. And so, you know, she handled herself, and she deserves credit, not blame for that.
Well, one more thing I want to mention, and this is one of the points that I hope she doesn't mind my mentioning this. Our editor, Alicia Montgomery, you know, raised in a conversation we were having about this, is that people often talk about Jay-Z for being a misogynist, especially because of his lyrics from earlier in his career. Notable that he does not defend himself or raise a hand to this young woman, you know, at all, and that his only physical reaction seems to be to try to get away and I just think that that's something to note. Like, again, not knowing at all what precipitated this, but whether words or inappropriate words were exchanged or insulting, you know, what they call, you know, fighting words under the law were uttered. But I think that, you know, had the situation been reversed and he slapped this young woman in the elevator or kicked her, we would certainly be having a different reaction to it.
And
I just feel like, I just feel like I need to, you know, to point out that, you know, so that's all. So for now, I think, maybe. If you're just joining us, we're talking about this week's Hot Topics with Joan Walsh of Salon.com and Ishi of They're All So Beautiful, Veronica Miller of XO Jane and the Griot, and Bridget Johnson of PJ Media. And we are on the topic of privacy, so I'm going to switch gears now. And we're talking about what happens behind closed doors. I want to talk about another video that's making waves for a very different reason. Emily Letts is a counselor at a women's clinic in New Jersey, and she decided that she needed to have an abortion. She decided that she would videotape it. The video lasts about 3 minutes. It is not graphic at all. It focuses on her face and her reactions and what she's experiencing through her eyes. But Letts says she made the video because she wanted to destigmatize the procedure. This video has gone viral, and as you can imagine, it has sparked many strong reactions from people on all sides of this issue. And I'll start with you, Veronica, and I'll just ask you, if you don't mind, because as a young woman who, you know, is of the similar in age to this young woman, if you found her reasons for putting it online valid.
I found them very valid. I mean, you know, I'm 30, and I'm in this demographic where we're delaying marriage, we're delaying having children, we're delaying all these things. So we're spending a lot of our time and mental energy on thinking about birth control and how to, like, you know, live our lives and not have any surprises, because we know that, you know, we might be in a unsteady economic situation, job situation, whatever. And I think that the video is helpful because the mere thought of having to make that decision to terminate a pregnancy is terrifying for young women because of the implications of the stigma and everything. And I think that having that video kind of opens up that conversation and allows, you know, women to see, okay, you don't have to be scared, or just, it just takes the, you know, the scariness away from thinking about having to have that procedure. And also kind of a comfort saying, this is okay, I've done this too, which I'm sure, you know, in her role as a counselor at the Women's Center, she's probably has those conversations about, this is okay, this is a thing that we deal with and we have to learn how to handle.
Okay, I need to get the other voices in here on this point, because I want to hear from everybody on this. Bridget, what about you?
Well, you know, she is a counselor at the center where she had the abortion, and she said in an interview afterwards that she was not using birth control and she didn't have any long-term partners. So that of course, makes me kind of cringe. What kind of advice is she giving to women to protect themselves from STDs and pregnancy?
Well, one of the points she makes in her essay about it is that she has been a hypocrite and that she is going to do better. She kind of so anyway, but your point,
It should open up a broader conversation. You know, first of all, of course, you know, every clinic that a woman's going to isn't as nice as that one. We know that from recent stories. But it also should open a conversation on the right about, you know, what should actually the message be. You know, the right needs to acknowledge people have sex. Not every woman gets excited when she sees a positive on a pregnancy test. There needs to be a broader conversation open about what do you do to support women who want to make this choice instead of just telling them don't.
Do you find it offensive as a person who does not share her political beliefs on this question? Do you find it offensive to, or some people just, you know, as you can imagine, there was a lot of outrage about this. It was put up on a lot of pro-life sites, and you can imagine what the vitriol that was directed at her.
Right.
But do you find it offensive?
And I know there are some theories about whether or not it was authentic, because she did enter in a contest afterwards. But I wouldn't say offensive as a bit disturbing. But I think that you need to take that and not just get outraged about it, but turn it into a conversation point.
Anne, what do you think?
Well, I have to say, as a YouTube snob, I'm offended. the stylistics kind of bothered me because, you know, and I think this is a generational thing. I think abortion actually has to be treated as even more realistic than that, because most of them are not surgical, actually. So, and I would have been nice to have seen a video of somebody taking pills, for example, which is how most abortions are performed. And that's not to destigmatize it or, you know, whatever. I personally am pro-choice. And I'd say, you know, if we're ready for night vision sex tapes, then we ought to be ready for abortion videos.
Tom, what do you say about this? You say you had no interest in watching it. Want to tell us more about that?
I had no interest in watching it, but I'm perfectly happy that it's out there. I think that this is a decision that's been so stigmatized and sensationalized and made into, you know, a horrible, horrifying tragedy by the right. And there's been so much public moral and political outrage about a private choice that I think it's great that Emily put it out there for women who may have been affected by the campaign against abortion.
But you don't want to watch it yourself. You feel because
no,
what?
I don't want to watch. I didn't feel any need to watch it. I felt like, again, you know, choice is about choice, and no one's saying I have to watch it, and no one's saying Bridget has to watch it. But it's out there, and it's on YouTube, as offensive as the aesthetics may be to Anne, you know, for women or whomever to go look and see what they can learn from it, and I'm happy it's there.
So before we go, let me ask about another person who upset a lot of people with comments he thought were private and seems to be our subject for today. The Donald Sterling saga continues. He sat down with Anderson Cooper earlier this week, and he made comments about Magic Johnson, saying that Magic Johnson was not a suitable role model because he has AIDS. He also apologized for negative comments about black people. He said he isn't a racist. We don't have time to play that clip, but I think you get the gist of it. He says he's not a racist, and I just have to ask, maybe Joan, maybe I'll go to you first on this. this, and maybe Veronica, thoughts about this made it. I think I was most interested in the fact that his wife says she should not have to deal with, she should not have to be held accountable for her husband's conduct, and she should still be able to keep her share of the Clippers. And your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that's completely wrong. I think that she deserves, if they divorce or if they stay together, she deserves half of whatever he makes from the sale. But, you know, the NBA ownership constitution, which we're not allowed to know about, which is kind of crazy to me, yeah. You know, is allegedly very clear about, you know, him being the person who's made the agreement and thus is the person who has to abide by the agreement. And so handing it over to her is not a solution. I was also struck by, you know, he wanted us, Donald Sterling wanted us to think that V. Stiviano's magic lady parts tricked him into saying these racist things. And, you know, men will say anything for sex. He seemed to be making that appeal. And yet what he said to Anderson Cooper in public with full knowledge that it was going out to the entire country, the yeah. world, was in some ways more, was at least, let's just say, as offensive as what he said to her behind closed doors. And it just showed that this is the way he thinks about African Americans, and that not only would he slur and slander Magic Johnson, who I think really changed the way we thought about HIV/AIDS when he came out with his illness status when he did, but also has been a philanthropist. And you know, it's so condescending that he can speak for who has helped African-American people and that they don't always help each other. Oh. It was just so offensive from start to finish.
Oh, Veronica, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you, but I do have time to applaud you on your graduation from design school next week.
Thank you.
So a big shout out to Veronica. Veronica Miller writes about pop culture and fashion for thegriot.com with us from Philadelphia. Joan Walsh is the editor-at-large of salon.com. And Ishii is editor-in-chief of They're All So Beautiful. That's a site that looks at race and dating. They joined us from our bureau in New York. Bridget Johnson is the Washington, D.C. editor for PJ Media. She joined us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.